It says in verse 3 to 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So I trust that we've come here with a prayerful heart this morning, and that the Lord will open our hearts and minds to his leading and guiding. I wanted to talk to you this morning about something that Jesus said in the book of, that Paul taught in the book of Romans. And so it's a comment, and we're going to look into that this morning as we look into God's word. And so I would invite you to turn to the book of Romans chapter 8, because that's where we'll be studying out, mostly out of this morning. We'll be moving a little bit around, but not too much. And I just wanted to share with you kind of what we're going to start with. So before we get started this morning, I want to invite you to bow with me for an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace this morning, we thank you again for this opportunity to once again gather in your house of prayer. Father, we just ask that you would be in our midst by the way of your Holy Spirit, that you would lead and guide us, that you would bless this time of fellowship, and Father, that as we look into your word, we would receive your heart, or receive your word into our hearts, and Lord, that we would live a life that would be well-pleasing in your sight. Father, we also ask that you'd place a hedge of protection around each and every one of us and around the sanctuary, that Satan and his forces would have no part here, but that you and you alone would be honored and glorified. And Father, wherever the word is being preached in truth, we ask that you bless those speakers and those that are to receive your word. And Father, we know that there's people that might like to be here, but for whatever reason cannot be. Maybe they're shut-ins at home, or they're at care homes or hospitals or whatever the situation is. But Father, that you would also touch them by the way of your Holy Spirit, that they could also somehow connect with either social media or whatever, that they would be able to receive your word as well. So again, we thank you for this time of fellowship, and again, we ask your blessing upon it. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. And at this time, we'll have some songs, please.
In the blue hymnal number 243.
Thank you.
73.
Be now.
Thank you so much for that singing. So as I mentioned, we're going to start in the book of Romans, chapter 8, and I want to go to verse 15. And here Paul writes, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And so what I want to talk about this morning is the comment he made here, Abba, Father. And what does that mean? When we look at the word Abba, Father, I've heard people say that it means something like dad or daddy. Well, I don't think that's quite right. It's much deeper than that. So there are ultimately two meanings to the word Abba, and they are intimacy and obedience. And we're going to look at when Jesus cried out, Abba, Father. And it's a time when Jesus is going through difficulties and he cries out to his heavenly Father. So we know then, when we look at that, the meaning of Abba, Father is very deep. And as we look and consider that, I want to consider, we are going to be going through Holy Communion once again here very shortly. And my question to us all is, do we have this intimate and obedient heart that Jesus had with his Father, that we will also cry out, Abba, Father? And that is my hope, that each one of us will come to know Jesus Christ in such a personal and intimate way that we will understand what it really truly means to have a very personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I do want to go to the book of Mark, and I want to go to Mark chapter 14. So when we look at Mark chapter 14, we want to turn to verse 32 to 36. So Mark 14, verses 32 to 36. And this is where Jesus prays in Gethsemane. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and he saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? So here in verse 36, I want to just go back to verse 36. And here Jesus says, in his prayer, he says, Abba, Father. So we take note of what he said following that statement. He says, if it's possible, take away this cup from me. But he didn't want his will to be accomplished. He wanted his Father's will. So then we look at the second meaning of Abba, Father, or Abba. And that is obedience. So Jesus himself was very obedient to what his purpose was on this earth. And so we need to learn from this. And we also know that Jesus Christ obviously had a very intimate relationship. We find out in Scripture, and we can search Scripture, that, you know, there was many times when Jesus went off by himself to pray. And I think that's a lesson we should be learning today. And I just want to touch a little bit on how our life has changed in these past couple of years, you know, particularly with the coronavirus and how we have had to deal with it. There are people that will say that you need to get vaccinated, and there will be some that say you won't. So there's going to be a constant discussion. One thing we need to understand, put that aside. What we need to understand is how important it is today to have an intimate relationship with God. You know, whether you agree or disagree with vaccinations, that's not going to bring you home. That's not getting you to heaven. What is getting you there is your relationship with our Father. And I'm hoping that each one of us will come to his throne and we can cry out, Abba, Father, with our true, pure, clean heart. That should be our goal. Let's put away all the worldly things. Let's not concentrate so much on them. Yes, I understand we need to go out and we need to work and we need to do, you know, all sorts of things in this life. But they don't need to consume us. What we need to be consumed with today, I think, like never before, is our relationship with God. Draw nigh to him. Get close and intimate with him. And simply what that means is he's on your mind and in your heart. And you're reaching out to him in prayer and you're having a conversation with him. And that's what Jesus did constantly. He showed us this. It's so powerful and it's so important. So even though we have challenges, we've had challenges throughout our life, haven't we? And some of them are different. But we need to go back to the basic and just say to God, look, we're going to trust you by faith. Let's not be overly consumed with what's going on, because you know what? Some of these things that are being discussed, let's just be real about it. They're not all going to be solved by you and I. What we know is we can trust God. So I want to flip into the book of Galatians here in chapter 4. And I want to read the first 7 verses. So Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's for us. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, I don't think it's all that common for us in our culture to have servants, but it was back in the day. It was very common to have a servant. But let me ask you a question. If you were to hire a servant or a maid, or both, who would you be closer to as a parent? The maid and servant or your own child? Well, probably your own child. At least I would like to think so. So what is the scripture here saying? That we become sons and daughters of God if we cry out, Abba, Father. That means if we have that personal relationship. You see how important that is? So, you know, as we prepare ourselves for life in general, there's no better preparation that we can have when we look at our relationship with God. How many of you are parents? And for us that are parents, we understand that we can teach our children all sorts of things through life, right? In fact, our children will watch us as they grow. I found it very interesting, and this just happened yesterday. My son is 25 years old. And he was at work, and he came home, and he went to his car to get something. And I turned and I watched my son walk away. And I looked and I said, he walks just like I do. In fact, he walks like his grandpa used to walk. And that's who I, used to walk like. And I guess I still do. So they learn from us, not only our actions, but they learn so many things on how we handle things. And what's more important than teaching them the Word of God? And at some point, I know I see some young children here. Some of you just, you're carrying your children still in these little cradle things, what I can't remember what the name of them are. But you're carrying them into the church here, and you're going to nurture and you're going to watch them grow. And they're going to have some of your characteristics. And as believers, if we are the sons and daughters of Christ, should we not be having some of these characteristics of Christ? I think so. I think it's absolutely paramount that we do. That way the world sees there's something different about us. And it's very important. And it's very important today. I think it's more important today because I'm living in this time. And I feel that it's so important because I see what's going on in the world. I mean, when I was growing up, when I was, in my 20s, I was a typical young man maybe. And I thought it would be hundreds of years before we would see events leading up to Christ's return. I'm not so sure it's going to be hundreds of years anymore. It has become far more important for me to understand and know my Savior Jesus Christ as I've gotten older. And I hope you impute that upon your children. So, mums, dads, grandmas, and grandpas, let's not waste too much time worrying about what the world is doing. We have to live in this world, I get that. But let's make sure that we're instilling the values that God wants in our life. That's what's important. And Jesus demonstrated that to us, like I say, on a very consistent basis. So I want to go back to the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 5, so Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." We as believers are given that gift from God, which is the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that. And the Holy Spirit is going to direct us to the truth. And in this time that we are living in today, do we believe everything we hear? Either through television or media or all this, are we believing everything we hear? Because it's, to me, there is more division in the world than there ever has been before. And Scripture talks about that. Scripture says that there will, father will be against the son, and the son will be against the mother, and the mother against the daughter, and so forth. It says this is what's going to happen. And as I watch this unfold, I see this happening more and more. Families are being separated and torn apart. And that is not what God wants. He wants us to have a relationship with him, and then we can be bonded together. So in Romans chapter 8, I want to go back to Romans chapter 8. Here's what is supposed to be happening. As we look at, in my Bible here, it's subtitled, "The Spirit delivers from the power of the flesh." So we've been gifted the Spirit. Now let's listen to the Spirit. What does the Spirit have to say to us? Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's just not, it's not me just telling you what to do here as far as we need to have that relationship with God. It's the Holy Bible. And that's what we want to draw from the Bible. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So here's our goal. We got to walk after the Spirit. And if we're going to do that, we have to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, and we have to be obedient. That's where Abba Father comes into play again. So we need to have that. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So here's what I was talking about earlier. If we're going to live in this world, yes, but if we chase all the things of the world, what are we going to be focused on? We're going to be focused on the things of the world. And how many distractions are there in the things of this world? There are many. But if we're going to go after the Spirit of God, then we're going to concentrate on the Spirit, which is a gift from God. And what will that do? Well, that's going to lead us to all truth. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. So chasing after the world, it's not good. Okay? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And if you cannot pull anything out of today's service other than you can have the peace of God, that's huge. And I hope you can obtain that. And I hope you have that already. You need to surrender yourself. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, we are no longer a child of God if we don't have the Spirit of Christ. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And that righteousness only comes through Christ. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a child of God. And again, I want to read verse 15 again. For if ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, so don't be afraid. But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So folks, hang in there. The road may seem tough, may seem difficult, but what is our goal? We want to be put, or we want to have that opportunity of salvation, don't we? And each one of us can have that. You have to make that decision, and I have to make that decision. When we look at how the world is going and the many challenges that we are experiencing, the many questions that there are out there, can we find all the answers? Does the world give us a sense of peace that we're looking for? I don't think so. And if our goal is to have peace on this earth, friends, you need Christ. He is going to give you the peace that you need. There are going to be certain situations and circumstances in every one of our lives when we fear. And yet the Bible says, fear not. It tells us that often. I haven't literally gone and counted it, but I've been told that it says fear not in the Bible 365 times. That's one for every day. Well, are we living in fear today? And if you are living in fear, what are we afraid of? Let's think about those things. And ask ourselves, if Christ is in the center of our life, what are we afraid of? He warned us that there would be trials. Told us these things would happen. I mean, if we've read our Bibles, it should be no shock to us things are happening in this world. We should be at least somewhat prepared for it. Maybe you're not into research, and maybe you're not into history like I am. I love history. And when you look at history, you know, history is a great teacher because you learn much from it. And they say that history tends to repeat itself. And in a lot of cases, it does. If we're going to follow the world, we're going to see things come around. And yeah, it's a very repetitive thing. You go way back, and you look at some of the kingdoms that have risen and fallen. Great, great nations, the Roman Empire, was one of the greatest nations to be on this planet. And they said it would never fall. Where is it today? You can go over most of Europe, and you can find many replicas and all sorts of things of where the Roman Empire was. It is no longer there. There have been many other powerful nations that have risen. And they have fallen. And that is going to continue. We can learn that from history. So is that important to us? Well, maybe for some of you it's not very important. But what it does for me, it draws my attention to what's important then. We have a king. We have a Lord. He will not fall. He will conquer. End of story. And when he sets up his kingdom, it will never end. So how about you? Are you ready to cry, Abba, Father? Are you ready to say that you're going to have an intimate relationship with him and that you're going to be obedient to the King, the Lord of Lords, and God Almighty? I hope so. Because that should be our goal as believers. And we need to be telling this to people all over the world. And I'm sure the message is getting out there because there's so many different ways we can access the world today. You don't think Jesus had troubles? Of course he had troubles. And I wanted to kind of close out on something where Jesus had some challenges and just some decisions he had to make. So turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 4. So Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read the first 11 verses. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward unhungered. So he was out there 40 days and 40 nights, did not eat. How many of us today, let's just try to wrap our heads around this a little bit, but how many of us today would be, I don't know, maybe a little testy if we haven't eaten for 40 days? And maybe we would be open to hearing just about anything. Look, people, we've never had to deal with true hunger. And if we would be in that situation, people do just about anything for food and water. Okay? So here we are, 40 days without food and water, and here comes Satan. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread." So immediately he goes after Jesus and he says, "Make it into bread." And because Jesus, it says, Jesus was hungry. Makes sense he would want him to have something to eat. Here's Jesus' response. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." How could he do this? Let's go back to Abba Father. Intimate relationship, obedient. Okay? His second temptation in verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth up on a high pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus saith unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Third temptation. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things shall I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve." Ultimately, what is he saying? Abba, Father. My relationship with God is more important than what you can offer me in this world. What happens then in verse 11? Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered him unto him. So they helped him. I have no idea what these angels did. Maybe they brought food and water, or maybe it was just a fellowship. I don't know. But God provided exactly what Jesus needed. And why? I think it's because, I have to believe it's because, Jesus continued through his whole life to cry out to God, saying, "Abba, Father." So where's your relationship today with the Lord? My hope and prayer for each one of us is that our relationship is at its peak, and that it will stay at its peak. I know the difficulties we face, because I face them as much as you do. We all face them. One thing I know is the power of a praying people and how it helps. Please, we need to pray for one another. And please, please, pray for the lost. My hope is that many hearts will be turned to the Lord Jesus Christ in this coming time, however and whenever Jesus returns, that many will have come to know Jesus Christ. But we need to do something about it. So again, I want to encourage you to pray for the lost and encourage people. And remember, cry out to God because he is your Abba Father. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning, we want to thank you for this hour of fellowship, and we thank you for your word and your direction that it gives us. Lord, that you lead and you guide us and that you bless us. We thank you so much. So Father, again, as we think of all the things that are going on in this world, we know that there's confusion. And Lord, but we know that you are the same today, yesterday, and forever. So we look to you, we lean on you, and we depend on you. And we thank you, and we love you, and we want to cry out to you this morning, Abba Father. We pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So before we go this morning, I do have an announcement here that I'd like to share with you. We have an announcement for an intended marriage. So I would like to ask Wayne Giesbrecht and Hannah Rempel to please stand. So the groom is Wayne Giesbrecht, whose parents are Rudy and Susanna Giesbrecht of Grenfell, Manitoba, and the bride is Hannah Elizabeth Rempel, whose parents are Peter and Nancy Rempel of Grenfell, Manitoba. These are both members of our church, and this announcement is made for the purpose that if any person has a valid reason to oppose this marriage, that it may be done in time to their time and thereafter forever hold their peace. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So as we pray for whatever we need to pray for, just remember to pray also for this young couple, that God will bless their marriage. It's a holy union, and we want to certainly ask God to be at the center of your marriage, and I trust that he will be. So we thank you so much. And I want to thank you so much for being here this morning. And we just trust that you have been blessed by God's word this morning. And as we go out and we have our daily lives to walk in, I just want to encourage you to lean on God and trust him through these many difficult journeys that we have in our lives. So as far as this morning's worship service goes, I have nothing more to share with you. I do want to say a heartfelt thank you for coming this morning. May God bless you. Let's bow for the benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may now depart with the peace of the Lord. Thank you for coming.